Hey there, and this is Fish and Frank, and another edition of Radio Fishing, and we got Gordon here from the Englewood Fishing Club. We're going to be talking about Englewood Fishing Club and just kind of fishing in general, maybe a few fishing reports along the way. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Frank.
And we got Robert over here.
Good morning.
Look at that, bright and cheery again.
Yay!
And for those of you guys who don't know, this is take two. You're never going to hear the first one because we got halfway through it and the whole thing quit. And it was really good. So hopefully this section is as good or maybe even better than the one we just did. And the computer kicked it right off. All of a sudden I looked over and said, it's gone. Right, guys, we're going to do it again. Anyway, Gordon, one more time, welcome to Radio Fishing.
Thank you. Good to be here, Frank.
So you're with the Englewood Fishing Club.
Yes, sir.
And what do you guys do in the Englewood Fishing Club?
Well, we're a club for people that like to go fishing and have fun and like to go fishing with other people and socialize and meet them and, through the medium of fishing.
So do you have to be, live in Englewood to join the club?
No, we have people from Venice through Punta Gorda. Most live in Englewood, Charlotte, or Rotunda, but we do have them from that far away. And we meet every month, 12 months of the year round for both seasonal and snowbird people that are here part-time. And
I heard the dues, though, are a little extreme. I mean, you guys, when you break it down over the year, it's got to be, what, $4 a month?
Almost that much. It's $40 a year. And for that, we have actually Frank and Robert have each spoken at our club over the years a couple of times. And we have guides come in and speak, guides or other people related to the marine industry. Sometimes we have people that own boats or mechanics, engineers. Sometimes we have the FWC.
Anything outdoor related, yeah. Fishing related.
Yeah, you guys do a nice job with the club. Don't you? You guys also have tournaments and events and picnics and stuff, right?
We have an ongoing derby. We've had ever since we've had the club, we've had some kind of fishing tournament, but a friendly social tournament, not the big prizes, just bragging rights type tournaments. But we have 9 of them a year and target certain species at certain times of the year, and others are open tournaments a year. And the winner gets to win a prize of up to $25.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's it. I think I agree with you on the bragging rights. Yeah. But now...
but that's what keeps it fun, too. You know, if it's not all about monetary purpose, it's more about the fun and the camaraderie. And
that's a tough word this time of the day, isn't it?
Well, one of the fun things about it, we have 16 species that are eligible to be entered, and each... Most of the months we target one of them, so you get bonus points if you catch the biggest of that fish, but you can weigh in any 4 species that you catch and get a point for each one. So not only if you don't, you know, it's not just a winner take all or a bragging rights take all, you can build up the cumulative points for the whole year. And it's friendly and it's competitive too.
And the nice part about it is you don't have to be hardcore fishermen, because you guys do picnics and you have, you got something on one of the islands, don't you?
Yeah, we have a couple picnics a year, one over at Don Pedro, which if people don't know about it, it's an award-winning park, but you can only get there by boat. And so those of us that have boats, take members that don't have boats over to the park, and we have a brunch.
Yeah.
Hot dogs, hamburgers, stuff like that provided by the club, and the other people provide potluck salads and desserts.
So it's earlier in the day, because if it was later in the day, it'd be a dunce, right?
Well, like usually we
dinner, lunch.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So you're like a brunch, not a dunce, right?
Yeah. We usually have a little fishing tournament at the beginning of it, targeting those species that are around in the surf, the trout or whiting and Spanish mackerel, whatever they can have, you know.
Robert and I were talking about we were doing a fishing report actually earlier today. And so have you been fishing out there? How's the fishing been?
Oh, yeah. We've had, I've had 2 really good fishing trips recently, one a couple of weeks ago, and one just last Thursday. I'll report one of my fishing friends club, Fred Cook. He went out and closed out the snook season with a nice keeper of 32 7/8 inches long at night.
Yeah.
So he got a keeper. And the next day, closing out the grouper season, the 2 of us went, and we limited out on a nice gag grouper. So up to 30 inches. We had 2 keepers
now,
each.
Where'd you go for the grouper? Were you out in the Gulf?
The secret spots, but I can tell you that it was...
Don't worry. You guys can listen to this. Yeah. Your brain won't explode for a little while. He does, you know, limit the amount of time you can know this.
We were fishing in a place called Boca Grand Pass, and then we also fished just a couple of ledges that we found and fish Power Pole Reef. We weren't there, but in that area.
Right.
And we caught two of the gag groupers and two of the keepers in Boca Grand Pass and two on the ledges. And two of the fish were up to 30 inches, so...
Well, that's a nice way to end gag season.
Yeah.
That's a great way to end gag season. So you got the keeper snook right at the last day of season. You got a couple keeper grouper. Anything else you caught in the past?
Yeah. On that day, we also had a nice catch of Spanish mackerel. All you could want, really, for a while. You know, that's the way they are in big schools, usually. And we kept a dozen for our friend to smoke for us. And we also had a scattering of the usual fall or winter fish, bluefish, mangrove snapper, grunts. We caught a snook. We caught about a 22-inch snook, maybe a couple of other. Oh, we had two cobia swim by the boat, which we just weren't. I had a rig ready, put out, cast it out to them, and they went in. They looked at it, but they just weren't interested in biting. I guess that day they wanted something else for lunch.
Yeah, it's amazing. So now, for me, when I go grouper fishing, I take frozen sardines, squid. Those are my two staples, but there's a lot of other baits you can use. What were you guys using?
I'm a primarily a live bait fisherman for grouper. Okay, we were fishing on that day with pinfish and shrimp, but mostly live pinfish. We chummed with I keep all my leftover baits, like you see, you know, that I don't use up. Thread fins, Spanish sardines, shrimp, and dice them up, and I chum with them whole. That's just small pieces I throw over the side. That's what I do. But the squid and live pinfish were what we were using primarily, and shrimp.
Now, Robert, fish in the past can be really tricky. Yeah. And it's one of the coolest things in the world is learning how to fish the past. But it's pretty unpredictable.
Yeah, I mean, you got a current that runs anywhere from 3 to 6 knots. And you've got structure that goes from 30 feet to 72 feet, and some of it is literally a 15-foot drop in spots. So you've got a lot of little turbulent water down there with eddies and stuff on top of all that structure. So as many fish as it does hold, it can be a little trying for a lot of people, but if you're willing, just like any other fishing spot, if you put the time in, pay attention to everything,
you will. But that's the fun of it. Enjoyable, learning. Where are you from, Gordon?
I'm from New York originally. We've been living here about the last 11 years.
So, you know, it's a big difference. It's a lot of transition coming from New York, because even fishing in the Atlantic or the Sounds and stuff up there, it's still a different ballgame once you hit that Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of similarities. They're fish and they get hungry and we get impatient and we like to catch them.
Fish, they get hungry, we get impatient.
But the skills are different here with and plus I'm one of those old timers, as you can tell, and learning the light tackle and the braided lines and the techniques here are adapted quite a bit. You know,
it's an evolving sport too. You know, there's a lot of different stuff out there available nowadays, and it's still constantly changing. So you're still having to learn new tackle, new lines, and all that on top of learning new spots. It can definitely test your patience and your mental well-being.
For those that want to fish for the gag grouper, because it's closed now, if it's open again next year, I can give them a couple of really good tips. Basically, I only fish down there a couple hours either side of the tide. Change of tide, incoming, outgoing, or outgoing, incoming. And generally speaking, 30 to 40 feet is those ledges, you know. I don't try and fish those deep holes in the heavy current, because you can't. Once the current starts,
you're snagged.
So you have to have a plan A and plan B, and if the wind and tide are good, you can fish for gag groupers, and if you can't, you go out to the reef or you change your target and go for sheep's head or redfish or whatever happens to be plan B. So you really always have to have plan B if you're going to try and fish the pass.
Well, that's the great thing about Boca Grand Pass is that you've got super deep water with very, very close accessibility to shallower water, and there's so many different varieties of structure, from the bottom structure of the pass to the old phosphate dock to some of the docks around Boca Grand, some of the rock piles on the beaches and behind some of the barrier islands there. There's just, you can make a whole day with different species if you want, or if one doesn't cooperate, you can go try to target another one. Main thing is being prepared to do all of that rather than going out with straight ahead itis and only one species in mind.
So have you been fishing lately, Gordon?
Other than those 2 days, no. I happen to be away for a couple of weeks, but I know some of the other fellas in the club have been having some success in bull bay and turtle bay. Not, they haven't been great lately, but on redfish and snook.
So we got redfish and snook. Now, we know the mackerels along the passes and everything else. We're going to wrap this up here. Any last words of advice? They can get to the Englewood Fishing Club right on fishandfranks.com. And so you can do that without having to, you know, go to too much effort. You're already on fishandfranks.com to hear this, so just go click the Fishing Clubs button. And any last words of advice, Robert?
The great thing about Englewood Fishing Club is that you're not restricted to one area where you live. You can come to it, and even if you don't fish, just going there to learn about boating in the area, meet likewise people that enjoy the outdoors. It's a good way to socialize and network yourself to get into other aspects that involve the environment. You know, it's pretty neat.
And Gordon, last words?
You know, just one other thing. By the way, we meet the second Thursday of every month, but we're attendance is free. Okay, you can. Our membership is $40, but you can come and sit down and listen, and it's free. So decide if you like it that much, then you can join.
Right, just come down, check it out, and you know, see if you like it or not. I don't know. They do have Gordon for a member, you know, and you know what they say. I don't know if I want to belong to any club that would have me for a member, but you know. Anyway, this is Fish and Frank, and you've been listening to Radio Fishing here, and Gordon from the Englewood Fishing Club. Just click the Fishing Club buttons on fishandfranks.com. We got Robert over here doing commentary and special intimate results with fish, and I'm not nice. Sure what the hell that was or what the heck that was. Anyway, I told you, PG-rated show, guys. I'm sorry. But Gordon from the Englewood Fishing Club, Robert, Fish and Franks, we'll catch you guys next time on Radio Fishin'.